right, friends, you know, there's something I've noticed for a while, that so many people are into steps, stepping. How many steps do you achieve each day? How many people in here have a Fitbit? A few? Okay, we have a picture of a hike where we counted our steps at the young adult retreat. We had about 7,000 steps, which is about only 3 miles, but we had a great time. We were so proud of ourselves. Now, isn't that what it's about? You get a medal, a little badge, if you accumulate your goal, but if you don't, maybe it tells you, hey, you only made 3 trips between the refrigerator to the couch. We're not counting that as exercise, right? It counts those steps, and we are worried if the Fitbit isn't true. In fact, some of you have exchanged your Fitbit for a new one because you were arguing about how it counted your steps. That's how into steps we are. However, Fitbits have limitations. They can monitor your heart, but they can't guard your heart. They can count your steps, but they can't tell you if you're going in the right direction. Amen. And the Fitbit cannot keep you from stumbling. It isn't able to do that. Only God can do that, and that's what we're talking about today. The doxology, Jude 24, is our theme. Our great God, He is able to keep us from stumbling. So last week, Pastor Neil started us in this adventure of Jude. False teaching. False teachers with strange behaviors and strange words, because they had taken things from different religions, spiritual practices, philosophies, and bundled them into one. You know what this reminds me of? It reminds me of how we bundle. We bundle our internet services, our phones, our television, so we can get the best deal, but so we get all the things, all the features, so that it serves who? Us. So it serves us. But our Jesus came to serve, not to be served. That's the opposite of the gospel. So we don't press into religion to serve us. We serve a mighty God, and He keeps us from stumbling. Now, did I mention the word syncretism? I think I forgot that. Syncretism, that's what that's called, as we bundle all these different things, handpick what works for us. And our culture is enmeshed in this. They love it. They love it. But our God is all powerful. He is the only one that can keep us safe, keep us from stumbling, and present us blameless in His great glory when He comes again. Amen. Let's pray. Holy God, we thank You. We thank You for this word from Jude, that He is a bold teacher. He's giving us some bold words today. As Pastor Neil prayed, let us have ears to hear, Lord, ears to perceive. Jesus, we admit that what we have understood for years as Christians may not be exactly part of Your plan. And so, Lord, we come to You surrendered, ready, Lord, to hear Your wishes, Your will. And God's people said, amen. I want to invite my brother Jeremy Wilson to the stage. He is going to read the scripture. Would you give him a hand and let him know he's among friends? He is reading from the NLT translation. The page is 1039.
But you, dear friends, must build each other up in your most holy faith. Pray in the power of the Holy Spirit. And await the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will bring you eternal life. In this way, you will keep yourselves safe in God's love. And you must show mercy to those whose faith is wavering. Rescue others by snatching them from the flames of judgment. Show mercy to still others but do so with great caution, hating the sins that contaminate their lives. Now all glory to God, who is able to keep you from falling away and will bring you with great joy into his glorious presence without a single fault. All glory to him who alone is God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord. All glory, majesty, power, and authority are his before all time and in the present and beyond all time. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Okay, let's dive in. It starts with verse 20. Jude is making a sharp turn. He's given us all the cautions, the warning labels of the infiltrators of the church, the false teachers, and now he's talking to us. He is talking to his beloved friends, encouraging them because he is concerned. And he says, Beloved, build yourselves up in your most holy faith. Build yourselves up in the faith. Now, friends, this is not maintaining our faith. This word build is a verb. It's building on the structure of Jesus Christ, who died for our sins, who was buried, and who rose again. That's just the beginning, right? He is asking us to be in the Word. Pastor Neil last week mentioned, do we know the counterfeit dollar bill? Are we in the Word enough to know when somebody speaks a word that doesn't quite seem right, that it may not be the exact Word of God? And some of us are very kind to speak with a lot of different people from different religions, and that is wonderful. But it can also be confusing if we do not know the Word of God. So build is an action verb. Building, making progress. We're going to dive into a lot of Greek words, and that's what that one means, to make progress. But it's singular and plural. So we're building ourselves up in the Word, and we're building up one another in the Word. The next one, next part of this verse, is to pray in the Holy Spirit. Anyone surprised about that? Pray in the Holy Spirit. Okay, let's take a little aside here. The Lord is excited about the Word. And so I'm going to ask you to be excited about the Word by giving a little exclamation, a little amen, a little affirmation, or a little, I don't know about that. Okay? That will keep me on my toes, and I'll know that you are into the Word. Amen? Can we do that? All right. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Why didn't he just say pray? Why didn't he just say pray? Because there's a difference. Now, I have talked to a lot of you, and myself included, where each day we have a list of things we might pray for. Now, this is our neighbors, our family, our home situation, and our personal needs. But friends, that can get heavy. And we're carrying that around every day. Praying in the Spirit brings freedom. Let's take a look at the Greek word pray. This has encouraged me so much this week. The prefix means towards, in exchange. The root, to wish or pray. Literally, to exchange wishes with God. What's on his mind? Switching what I want for what he wants. You know what this says to me? It says, pause. Pause. Ask God, what is his will? Jude isn't just assuming that we know God's will. He says, press in. Pray in the Spirit. And let's look at the verse that goes, well, first let's look at the example. Jesus gives us the perfect example in the Garden of Gethsemane before his betrayal. He asks his disciples to keep watch. To keep watch as he prays to be delivered from the suffering. Mark 14:36, Jesus cries out, Abba, Father, everything is possible for you. Please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, God, not mine. Jesus gives us the perfect example. Jesus pronounced his need, his wants, but then he gave it to the Lord. And he said, not your will, not my will, but your will, Lord. Pausing to not assume that we know God's will. We need Holy Spirit interaction. Let's look at the Romans verse. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying. For the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's will. And that is Romans 8, 26 and 27. Now, the next part of this verse is 21. Verse 21, we await the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will bring you to eternal life. Jesus is coming back. He's coming back for us. It says, we will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds with glory to gather all of his chosen ones from the east and the west. He is coming again. Amen? Amen. Now, the last part of 21, verse 21, keep yourselves safe in the love of God. Keep yourselves safe, NLT as the word safe, in the love of God. Jude is literally saying, guard yourselves in God's love. I can hear Ricardo singing a song about this. Love, God's love, it keeps us safe. And you know what? It sounds pretty easy when work is going smoothly, when the air conditioner is working, when everyone agreed to have Pop-Tarts for breakfast. There's peace at home. You're meeting a friend from your ministry team for lunch. The world is a beautiful place. Right? But what happens when life becomes difficult? When you're running late for an appointment, or the person coming to see you is a no-show? When everyone in your family has a cold and you're running around picking up the medication at CVS, you're doing the grocery shopping, you're preparing the meals, and you're spraying Lysol over every surface, then the love of God can run a little thin, right? Well, this reminds me of how we work with filling our gas tanks up during the week. Now, some of us, when that little light comes on, 40 miles until empty, we immediately head to Costco to fill up our gas tank, right? Done. But for the rest of you, you want to test the system. Is the gauge really working? How many more miles can I go, right? Can that not be like our love tank? Woo! Am I just talking to myself here? It can get a little low when we're in a difficult season. We can snap back a little too easily. Joy disappears. That is our warning sign. But God is able to keep you from stumbling. Reach out to a life group leader. Reach out to a pastor. Reach out to a friend. Get together for lunch. Dive into the Word. What will God have to say to you? You know, there are 50 verses that translate the word hindrance or falling away to the Greek word stumbling. So it's in the Word a lot. God wants us to pay attention. And I have to include this classic example of stumbling. And it's about Peter. We're not surprised, perhaps. But as we track Peter's spiritual journey, we see that his love for Jesus is a protective shield of faith. It protects him from hurt. How did Peter get hurt? Well, let's look at it. In Matthew 16, Jesus is asking all the disciples, who do people say that I am? And they say, well, some say Jeremiah, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah. But then he asks his disciples, who do you say I am? And Peter, quick on the draw, says, you are Messiah. You are the Son of God. And Jesus says, Simon, you are blessed because my Father in heaven revealed this to you. You did not receive this from men. And upon you, Peter, I'm now switching your name from Simon to Peter the Rock, I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. And Jesus says, I am giving you, Peter the Rock, the keys to the kingdom. Woo! Peter's confidence. What do you think happened? It swelled. He's feeling pretty confident. He's a called person. He is a called disciple. He has had the affirmation of the Lord. He now has the keys to the kingdom, and he's going to use them. He's in on the plan of God. He's in on the plan, but see what happens next. Right after this passage is verses 21 and 23 of chapter 16. Jesus foretells his death and his resurrection. He says, disciples, the Pharisees, the religious teachers are going to persecute me. I'm going to be killed. But on the third day, I will be raised. Peter, full of confidence and the plan of God, takes Jesus aside and rebukes him and says, heaven forbid, this is not going to happen, Lord. What does Jesus say? He turns to Peter and says, get behind me, Satan. Get behind me. You are a hindrance, Greek. You are a stumbling block to me. For you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. Human reasoning. Peter forgot to pause. He thought because that he had been affirmed that he had the whole plan. But he didn't. He only had a little bit of the plan. You see, his Messiah was a king that would reign. He hadn't planned on death. You see how human reasoning takes us to self-preservation, to keep us safe. But the plan had never been to stay safe. The plan had always included Jesus dying for our sin, ever since Adam and Eve fell by eating the apple when they stumbled. That had always been the plan. But Peter missed it, seeing things from a human point of view. We can become a stumbling block to others when we insist on our rightness, when we have pride, when we don't pause. Pride can so easily get in the way. I have done all those things. Praise God for his forgiveness and for the forgiveness of brothers and sisters of faith. Amen. God is able to keep us from stumbling. Do you believe it? Tell the person next to you, God is able to keep you from stumbling. Okay, now do you believe this? That God is able to keep you? How are you going to do it? You're going to build up your faith. It's not maintenance. It is hard work, people. Do we understand that it's hard work? That we're not just floating on the clouds proclaiming a message? We are in the trenches. We're getting our hands dirty. We're working. We're in the Word. We are diving in and swimming in these words of God so we can tell what's real and what is counterfeit. And then we're praying in the Spirit. We're not assuming that we know God's plans. We're asking God to intercede with the Spirit and tell us what his plan is, as much as we need to know. And then we're keeping ourselves safe in the love of God. Now, Jude has such a heart for those who doubt. He says, have mercy on those who doubt. Even followers of Jesus can wrestle with doubt. Have we not wrestled with doubt? Been through a hard time and wondered if God was really there? Wondered if his Spirit was really in us? Wondered if he was really going to speak to us through his word? That's what people say. Does it really happen? Maybe I haven't heard from God for a very long time. Well, let's not miss the example that leaps off the page here. Jude doubted. He did not believe. Jesus was Jude's older half-brother. He had grown up under Jesus' care. He had seen Jesus be responsible for the family, especially after his father, stepfather Joseph, died. He carried on the carpentry business. He had seen Jesus be compassionate to his mother, Mary, and to the siblings, and to the village, to all the other friends. He had seen Jesus' miracles, but he still doubted that Jesus was Messiah in the same family. Yet he doubted Jesus' identity. How do we know this to be true? Well, let's look at John 7, 3 through 5. We only have one of those verses up on the screen. But Jesus was with his brothers, and they're trying to convince him to go to Jerusalem. Show your miracles to everyone. If you're really who you say you are, why would you keep your miracles to yourself? Go to Jerusalem and show everyone. For even his brothers did not believe him. Jude underwent a radical change. The brother who once doubted became a servant of Jesus. The skeptic stopped doubting and became a strong believer, a contender for the faith. Jude was transformed by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Have you ministered to those who doubted? Ministered? Have you loved them? Have you been quick to give them a Bible scripture, or do you wait and listen? Maybe God gives you a chance to share your own doubts and struggles. Have mercy. Have mercy. You know, some people are hesitant to even say they have doubts. Why would they be hesitant? Because they're afraid, perhaps, of what we will say, of how we'll react. But let's be honest. We've all had doubts. Am I the only one? Okay. Let's be merciful. Show the mercy that Jesus has set the example for. He saw everyone with compassion, even those who ridiculed him. He had compassion for them. All right. This just sets us up for the most difficult one, verse 23. Let's read this together. Next slide, please. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. All right, this requires everyone, not just me. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. Ooh, are you getting nervous? What does that mean? That means that we have a responsibility, friends, for one another with God. Jude is commissioning us through the power of the word that is our responsibility to snatch one another out of the fire. If someone is on the wrong path, going in the wrong direction, don't be silent. How is that merciful? If someone thinks that it's all right to shoot up on drugs or to have more than one drink, and it becomes a routine. They're neglecting their family. They're sleeping around. What do? Mind our own business? Jude is talking about eternity. Sometimes, friends, we walk around like there is no eternity. There is eternity. Jesus is bringing a new heaven and a new earth. But for everyone who has not followed Jesus, there is only one other place. It's real. It's fire. Fire threads throughout the entire Old and New Testament. Ephesians 4:14 says, warn people who are being like immature little children, tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. Don't let them be influenced with lies so clever that they sound like truth. Instead, speak the truth with love, growing in every way more like Christ. Did Jesus ever turn away a conversation? Wasn't he always ready? We should always be ready with a reason for our faith. He never ran from anyone. He dove into the conversation. He was a great listener, and he had compassion. Speak truth in a direct conversation. God is able to do what? God is able to keep us from stumbling. We might be afraid that we're going to stumble as we speak to this person. But build up your faith. Pause. Pray in the Spirit. Do we not think that God can take us through the process of snatching someone out of the fire when he's told us to do that very thing? Do we not think that's God's will? Oh, I think God is saying, wake up, church. Wake up, church. Wake up, friends. There are people that are going the wrong direction every day. Now, are we responsible for the entire world? No, we are responsible for getting out the word of God, the truth. But for snatching people out of the fire, that's you and me. That's you and me. Here's a quote from Charles Spurgeon's sermon, The Common Salvation. As for the root facts, the fundamental doctrines, the primary truths of Scripture, we must from day to day insist upon them. We must never say of them, everybody knows them. For alas, everyone forgets them. Is that not true? Have mercy. Speak the truth in love. God is able to put the words in your mouth. God is able to open my eyes to see the person who is doubting. God is able to snatch them out of the fire through your love. Now, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. Able. He is able. That's a word. Dunamai, that's where we get the origin of our word dynamite. Dynamite was a made-up word somebody made up after they created dynamite in the 1800s. It comes from God's power, all-powerful dunamai. God is able to watch over us, to preserve us. That's what those words mean. He watches over us. Psalm 121 says he never sleeps nor slumbers. He is able to keep us from stumbling. Psalm 37:23 says the Lord directs the steps of the godly. Though they may stumble, they will not fail because the Lord is the one that upholds them with his strong arm. Is God's arm too short to keep us from stumbling? He is all powerful, and we find his power in the word. We find his power in the prayer of the Holy Spirit as we meet in our life groups and as we pray on our knees. Friends, we can't stumble when we're on our knees. That's a little difficult, right? Only God can keep us from stumbling. and keep us standing as we meet him face to face in his glorious presence. Because of Jesus, who took our sin upon himself, canceled our debt on the cross, was buried in a grave, rose again. He has defeated the power of sin and overcome death. Amen. Where are you the most vulnerable to stumble right now? Where are you the most vulnerable? You might think of the most difficult challenge that is meeting you right now. What are you facing? Whenever we go through challenges, there is a vulnerability to stumbling. Present that to the Lord. Walk in his power. Ask for prayer. Ask for people to pray with you. Maybe there's someone that you can encourage, someone who is waiting for mercy, that is discouraged because of the doubts, because of their season. You can come alongside them and pour God's mercy into them, taking them to coffee, taking them some food, eating with them, listening to their struggles, and then praying together. God is able. God is able to keep us from stumbling. Beloved, but you, beloved, remember this last part of Jude. Build yourselves up in the faith. Dive into the word. Know what it says. The more of God's word that we ingest, the more we can speak into our own lives and to the lives of others. These are not words on a page. This is the word of God, living and active. As we meet him in the word each and every day, he will speak. He will speak. He will speak. Pray in the Spirit. Pause to listen. Exchange your wishes for God's wishes and for his plan. Don't be like Peter, who just assumed. We cannot assume. Peter assumed because he was in Jesus' presence. He knew the plan, but he was going the wrong way. Pray in the Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love. Peter was tested. We're going to be tested too. You've already been tested. You have your own stories. God is able to keep you in his love. But friends, we have to want it. We have to want God's love. He wants to be the one and only, number one. Is there anything that is displacing him from his throne in your heart? Because that's where it starts. The stumbling starts in the heart, and then the feet follow. Look forward to God's mercy in Christ Jesus coming again. He is coming back for us. Hallelujah. Have mercy on those who doubt. Remember, Jude doubted. He was in the presence of Jesus. Doubting is not a sin. Encourage others. Whenever I'm feeling a little unmerciful, I go to the Gospels. Jesus' love, his compassion, every single time. Every single time. Even when he was grieving for his cousin, John the Baptist. He was serving people. That's a compassion that changes lives. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. Don't let that scare us. God is in control. He is able. You are marked as his child. I love hearing those stories of you sharing your faith and how God works in the day to day. Can we share more of those stories? Can we? Because we need that encouragement to know that God is at work. Only God is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless with great joy in his glorious presence in the day to come. Lord Jesus, we come before you and we thank you for this message. It is challenging, God. Let us know deep inside where it matters that you are able. Let our eye be first on ourselves. Where are our feet going? What are we scrolling to? What is causing us, tempting us to stumble? Where are we vulnerable? Holy Spirit, shine the truth in our lives so that we can live blameless, full of confidence, filled with your Holy Spirit so that we can extend mercy that is beyond ourselves because it comes straight from you. Thank you, Lord, for this message. Let it empower our words and our steps. In your name, amen.